afternoon, and welcome to SF Jazz. My name is Randall Klein, Artistic Director here, and great to see you all out for sort of a bittersweet moment. It's been an incredible week, and you're in for a real treat. One beautiful, beautiful week we've had here. These three great songwriters, John Leventhal, and singer-songwriters. Firstly, I want to thank Niall McAvoy for his support of today's concert. That there'll be no intermission this afternoon, so settle in. If you've got cell phones or anything that makes noise, this is the opportune moment to turn those off, please. And also, no photography, please, with those phones or any other kind of things. So do that during the performance, please, and in respect to your fellow fans and musicians up here on the stage. Much appreciated for that non-distraction. What else can I tell you here? Anyone new here, first time in the building this afternoon? Yeah, quite a few there in the back here. Okay, great. Well, those of you who are new here, welcome. This is the fifth anniversary of this building, the season we're in. I imagine a lot of members here as well today. Yes. Members who helped get this building going, keep it support. Annually here for education programs and the artistic programs. Thank you, members. As I said, fifth season, over 350 concerts. We're down to next week will be the final week of this season. Another only at SF Jazz triumvirate next week of piano players, Caribbean piano players, three of the greatest, Gonzalo Rubalcaba, Michelle Camilo, and Chucho Valdez here. Playing the music of Ernesto Lacona, a legendary composer, Cuban composer. So it's been a heck of a year. Thank you all. And we start right up again in 2 weeks, 35th Annual San Francisco Jazz Festival. All that information is in your program books and information out in the lobby. So look forward to seeing more of you here. I want to give a particular thanks to Roseanne Cash, one of our resident artistic directors here. It's a two-year term. She'll be back here next year, and it's just great to have, you know, just look at the roots of American music here. This is a, you know, primarily a jazz venue, but nice to seek out these connections and where all these things connect. And Roseanne's taking this very serious. It's great. This is a one-of-a-kind only concert you're going to see today. It's actually commemorated with a T-shirt. It was a one-of-a-kind meeting. This is the only place you're going to get. This is going to happen. This isn't a tour. This isn't going on tour. There's no plan for it. This is just Roseanne and her friends, and they are real important friends. Really three of the heavies in this, you know, who have really formed this art form, taken a tradition, and really pushed it forward. They are heavyweights in many ways. All of them are actually doctorates. All of them hold honorary doctorates, an esteemed group. There's over 20 Grammy Awards represented here. There's another 5 Grammy Awards right here with John Leventhal, who will be the sole accompanist tonight. So it's with great pleasure and as I said, a little bit of sadness to see them go, but please welcome Lucinda Williams, Emmy Lou Harris, and Roseanne Cash.
And it was so nourishing to our spirits when we walked off. Emmy Lou said, "That was for me." And so when Randall invited me to be an artistic director this year, which is a great honor, and I have to thank San Francisco Jazz so much. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, make something up. I said, Lucinda and Emmy Lou. Okay. So not only am I happy to be here with my girlfriends and Mr. John Leventhal. Yeah. But, you know, I'm happy to be with two of the most iconic singer-songwriters living today. So we're thrilled to be with all of you. And this isn't a polished show, so in that respect, it is jazz. We're going to be improvising a bit. And I'd like Dr. Lucinda to start things out.
It's so great to be here with Roseanne and Emmy and John Leventhal, and it's just been really nice. This is the fourth evening of this run, and it's just been really special and really cool. This song is one that I performed. I was performing on tour with my band during the Women's March and Women's Marches. And so I dedicated the song to their struggle, to our struggle. It's called Walk On.
Our theme song.
Yeah, it was just really special, and we didn't rehearse had a sound check. I think that was it. We decided it was best if we just left certain things to fate.
Just walk out on that limb and use your cracks.
Right, now this was a song that we did not do that night, but I took the opportunity to see if Rose would sing with me on this. It's a song that I was fortunate enough to write with the wonderful Kimmy Rhodes, a great singer-songwriter from Austin. And she called me up quite a few years ago now. She had started a song about one of her children for his birthday, but it wasn't like a toddler. He was turning 40. But, you know, you never stop worrying and thinking about your kids. And since Rose and I both have daughters, I thought it'd be nice for us to do this song together.
She wanted me to sing it the first night, and I said, no, let's get through one show. So I'm glad you know.
Now she's nailing it.
Thank you.
Nailed the landing.
3.0. This is from my album Interiors. Well, this is off my Car Wheels album, and
It's wonderful.
Yes.
This one seems to, I'm sure Emmy and Roseanne have songs like this that seem to resonate with people, you know, in a way more so than some of the other songs. For whatever reason that is. But this is called Lake Charles.
Oh.
Had a reason to give back to Lake Charles. He used to talk about it. He just couldn't on. He always said Louisiana was where he felt at home.
descend in this. Now I think I'm okay. I might need just a little more brightness, a tiny bit more in my vocal and my voice, just a little bit. So this is a song inspired by a fellow who lives in my hometown now, is Nashville, Tennessee. I lived a lot of places. I feel like Mrs. Hank Snow sometimes.
I've been everywhere.
That's another story.
No, you should tell him. That's a funny story.
Hank Snow, you know, I've been everywhere. And he was a great, he was actually from Nova Scotia. And he, but he, what was his nickname anyway? He was the...
The singing somebody.
Singing somebody.
Major somebody.
But he was, you know, very, very popular in the 40s and 50s. And when they started having the CMA awards, he was, I guess, one of the first people to get some kind of an award, a lifetime achievement or something. And he came up and he said, he thanked everybody. He said, and I'd like to thank my wife, Mrs. Hank Snow. Oh, those were the days, my friend. It was so sincere. Anyway, my hometown is Nashville, and I've been living there for a while, and I got to meet this pretty extraordinary person there. He was a Catholic priest there in Nashville. But he found that there were a lot of homeless people that were showing up in the parking lot of his parish, and he would make them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And in one of those aha moments they talk about, suddenly occurred to him that these people were actually his congregation. And so with the blessing of the church, he left the priesthood, rented a couple of rooms in a pretty bad part of downtown Nashville, and went to the police and said, look, when somebody, you know, someone who's homeless, who's, you know, gets drunk or whatever, just, you know, let them sleep it off here. It'll save the taxpayers some money. And they can, as long as they stay sober one day at a time, they can just stay here. And over the last 35, maybe plus years, he has saved so many people from homelessness and probably death. A lot of these are veterans. And they built an amazing place now called the Campus for Human Development and the Room at the Inn, which is kind of almost like a Ritz-Carlton for the homeless. But these people really get their, not everyone, but they have a chance. They don't have to give their soul to Jesus. They don't have to do anything but take one day at a time sober, respect themselves, and respect the other people there at the inn. And he's really done some extraordinary things, and I got to know him because I actually have a homeless shelter for dogs. And he thought that it would be a good idea. He saw that there was still a missing piece of the puzzle. A lot of these folks got themselves together, but then they suffered the stigma of having been homeless. And so he wanted to start some kind of business, some kind of operation where they could get back into the community and contribute to the community, and the idea was some kind of animal shelter. So in that way, I won't go into it, but I got involved with Charlie and became more aware of the homeless humans in my hometown. And so this song was inspired by Charlie Stroke.
you sing that song a bunch, and it just hit me again. It's so moving, so beautiful. You know, I started out to be a songwriter, writing songs in my teens, and I thought that's all I wanted to do with my life. At first, I didn't think about performing or making records. And I still consider myself a songwriter first. And so it was one of the great moments of my life when Emmy Lou and Linda Ronstadt recorded this song of mine. And Emmy told me just a couple days ago that she was the one who found the song and took it to Linda. I didn't know that.
Because I got a real nose for good songs. It might be tiny. In fact, somebody told me that Michael Jackson, this is what he based his nose on. I don't know if it's true.
It's awfully cute. It's a song sniffer.
It's a song sniffer, that's what it
is. This is called Western Wall.
Oh, yeah.
going to do a different song, but then I realized I hadn't had a chance to go over with John, and now I'm spoiled because I don't want to do anything unless John plays them.
I can follow you if you want something.
Well,
or we could just rehearse. Do what you want, Liz.
I'm gonna stick with this one because John plays so great on it.
That's what I secretly wanted.
John, you're so good.
You're better.
That's for sure. This is called Ghost of Highway 20, and it's the title song off my last album. And Highway 20 runs through some of the towns I grew up in back in the late 50s and early 60s, like Vicksburg, Mississippi, where my brother was born, and Jackson, where my sister was born, Macon, Georgia, where I went to first started school, and I sort of look at the song and it's kind of like Car Wheels on a Gravel Road Part 2. Because in Car Wheels, I was the child in the back seat, a little bit of dirt mixed with tears, looking out the window. And then Ghost of Highway 20, I'm driving the car, a little bit of dirt mixed with tears, looking out the window and looking back. And so it's just about, you know, the ghosts or the spirits of, you know, places and people and maybe people you've lost, and, you know, you just find yourself, well, I found myself, you know, just kind of haunted by a lot of the memories, you know, from those places and the importance of, you know, your roots and all, the roots to where you're from. This road at the back of my hand, seeing the stations on the FM band, farms and truck stops and fireworks stands. Yeah, I know this road at the back of my hand, southern secrets still buried deep, brooding and restless neath the cracked concrete. If you were from here, you would feel me to the death along with the ghost of Highway 20. I went through hell when I was younger. Deep in the well, you'll see the hunger. Find the strength I got within me to wrestle with the ghost of Highway 20. Been 60 years, don't want for nothing. But my tears, they keep on coming. And my fears continue to haunt me. Along with the ghost of Highway 20. And now this road at the back of my hand, same with the stations of the FM band, farms and truck stops and fireworks stands. Yeah, I know this road at the back of my hand, who I am. original door. This two-line laptop will never let me let go of the ghost along Highway 20. And I have seen the signs of sin. We're closing it on the final days, but I got nothing left to repent. My saving grace is with the ghost of Highway 20. You know this love at the back of my hand. Same with the stations on the FM band. Swarms and truck stops, fireworks stands. I know this love at the back of my hand. Every question, every breath, every answer leaves a little death in its way, in a memory that will wander with the ghost of Highway 20. And I have seen the signs of sight. Closing it on the final days, but I got nothing to repent. The saving grace is with the ghost of Highway 20. Yeah, my saving grace is with the ghost of Highway 20. Yeah, my saving grace is with the ghost of Highway 20.
Christina, I can't decide whether that song is a William Faulkner novel or a film. It's unbelievable.
Adaptation. For the screen.
I've been realizing how so many of my songs have been inspired by literature, you know, Southern writers who I grew up with, like Flannery O'Connor and Eudora Welty. Yeah,
Eudora
Welty,
well, you know, most of, it's amazing to be up here just in the same breath as, you know, songwriter, you know, Roseanne and Lucinda, because really most of my career, and still too, I've been an interpreter, very happy to be, very proud to be, and I've been able to record those songs by Roseanne and Lucinda and many, many other writers, but there's always that, if you write some, you always think, boy, I wish I had written that song like every one of Lucinda's and Roseanne's. But just grateful that they were written, because they do nourish us. They tell us things that we needed to know about ourselves that we didn't know. You know, I think that's the purpose of poetry, I guess, and literature. But anyway, but then besides all of Lucinda's and Rose's songs, occasionally there'll be another song that I wish I'd written. But I'm just grateful that it came my way. And that, I want to do one of those for you now. This song was written by a lovely singer and artist, songwriter, Amy Allison. She's not real well known. She's Mose Allison's daughter. And I wasn't really that aware of her. And another little thing I want to say is the music community, the singer, songwriter, artist community that I've been blessed to be a part of for so many years is such an incredibly generous group of people. Don't believe that show Nashville. I mean, I don't know where they come up with that stuff. Because everybody is so supportive and generous to each other, and outside of Nashville, just in the music community. And I've been fortunate to know Elvis Costello. I've done some touring with him. Out of the blue, he sent me the song, not written by him, written by Amy Allison. just because he thought it was like, it's better than getting flowers. Much better. And just he wanted me to hear it, thought I might want to record it. He was right. And so John Leventhal is going to help me with this. It's called Her Hair Was Red. I walked across the bridge to the island, sat down in the grass by the old homestead. I listened to the song of a cicada.
Record, The River and the Thread. And I was thinking, I realized the first time we did this week, that it's kind of a companion piece to Ghost of Highway 20, in that it's an urgent journey on a dark and haunted road. And,
yeah. Can I use that?
No, will you write that down for me so I can use that later?
Really, Dave has a little.
Yeah, you can have it.
When I'm trying to explain Ghost of Highway 20, I stumble around kind of trying to, like one time I was doing an interview and, you know, the guy asked me, he goes, so do you believe in ghosts? And I was just like, really?
This song, it is an urgent journey and it's through some dark territory, but it's also a metaphorical journey. It started because I went down to Florence, Alabama and to visit my friend Natalie Channon, and she has this workshop called Alabama Channon, and she employs a lot of women and they hand stitch these beautiful clothes. In fact, she hand stitched this for me. And she was teaching me to sew, and John was taking a little iPhone movie of our hands as she was teaching me to sew, and she was threading my needle, and she said, honey, you have to love the thread. Yeah. wasn't speaking in metaphors. But I heard it that way. And I welled with tears, and I started thinking about that thread that goes backwards and forwards into your past and through your ancestry and through the geography that's gotten into your bloodstream. And even the threads you've had to cut, you know, those are still important. This is called A Feather's Not a Bird.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been around. Cause there's something about what happens when we talk. Something about what happens when we talk. Does this make sense? Is it coincidence, or was it meant to be? Cause there's something about what happens when we talk. Something about what happens when we talk.
To hear them live. She's right there. I think the best seat in the house, but she's right in between the two of them. So, I have a song here that's it's not a protest song really, but you know, it's sometimes you kind of feel like you're channeling a song when you sort of are speaking in someone else's voice. Usually, you know, you're writing about yourself even if you try to disguise it. But I was listening to, I'm a big addict of NPR on the radio. And someone described it once as that bastion of liberal bias called the truth. 55. There you go. Thank you. And it kind of was the, I guess, that turning point in that started the civil rights movement in earnest. I'm sure there'd been a lot of struggles and things going on before, but when this young black boy went down to Mississippi to visit relatives down there, he was from Chicago, and he was a typical 14-year-old. Boy, talked too much and bragged and was a little, you know, stupid in that 14-year-old boy way, doesn't matter what race you are. He was a bit of a show-off, and he carried a picture of he was a black boy, and he carried a picture of a white woman in his wallet and said it was his girlfriend, and he was bragging to his cousins, and they said, okay, well, all right, then you go up there, and they were at a store. So you go up there and talk to that white woman. And this is kind of the story of what happened to him, but also the way I imagined if he could have just lived a normal life and not ended up being a footnote in the civil rights movement and suffered the fate that he did.
Speaking to a woman whose skin was white as dough, that's a sin in Mississippi, but how was I to know? I come down from Chicago to visit with my kin. Up there I was a cheeky kid, I guess I've always been. But the harm they put upon me was too hard for what I'd done. For I was just a black boy, never hurt no one. Oh, 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 oh. They took me.
inside the hearts of men.
Tenant farmers, and in Arkansas, both in Arkansas, her grandparents and my Cash grandparents. And in 1934, FDR created this resettlement community in Arkansas, in the Sunken Lands of Arkansas. And it's called the Sunken Lands because there was an earthquake in 1811, a series of earthquakes in 1811 and 1812. And the land in that part of Arkansas around the Mississippi sank by up to 50 feet in some places. The entire topography of the region was changed. And since then, it's been known as the Sunken Lands of Arkansas. So in 1934, FDR created this community for 500 desperately poor families, and the Cash family moved there in 1935. With my father, who was 3 years old at the time, and his brothers and sisters. And this song that I wrote with John, it's called The Sunken Lands, and the hero is my grandmother, Carrie Cash. She raised 7 children there for many years without electricity, gave birth at home, picked cotton in the fields, and was married to a man who was not kind, not a pleasant person. She didn't complain about it. This is part of the thread, I guess. This is called The Sunken Lands. Thank you.
There's five and ten.
I grew up listening to, like Lionel Lee Johnson, Mississippi Fred McDowell, Reverend Gary Davis. And also that, you know, as Roseanne was explaining, we do have some things in common as we're finding out more and more. My grandfather from Arkansas is a Methodist minister, and so I've got that's mixed in, you know, in my roots and all. Some of the imagery, again, going back to literature, some of the imagery was inspired by, you know, Southern Gothic writers like Flannery O'Connor. The things that are, when I read her stories when I was about 16, I realized, you know, that I've seen all of those things that she was talking about, you know, that sort of dark gothic place, you know. So here we go, y'all can clap along. Yeah.
approaching one of those big decades birthdays that people get their panties in a wad about. But I think I was turning 43 or something like that, so I passed a big one. But I don't know, I was dealing with a bit of melancholy that I think is part of the natural human condition.
Yeah.
I don't think you always need to take a pill for it, but I do know. Sometimes it's just, you just feel the weight of what you're carrying around. I don't know, this song just kind of came to me.
Now what is carried on? across to the other side, beyond the river and the flood, and the valley where for so long I stood, with the rock of ages. Someday I know it'll lead me home.
Girlfriends can sing on it.
Thank you.
Lucinda Williams sang on 7 or 8. I'll always remember that time. Thank you. We're going to close out with a couple of songs that we didn't write so that we can sing together. This is a song by Steve Earle.
But you know, the easiest radio show in the world to do is Steve's because you don't have to talk
at all.
But he's so interesting.
Yeah. Makes for great personal interaction.
Yeah, he can just say that somebody's on the show. love Steve. Steve wrote this song for a friend of ours that passed away in 1997. He was supposed to sing at the funeral, and he didn't like anything, but he thought he should sing, so he wrote this song. It's a really beautiful song, and it's taken on a different life. Recently, last year, Steve and I and a bunch of other artists did a kind of in the round like this to raise money for the Jesuit Refugee Service, for their programs overseas with all the refugees. There's 64 million of them around the world now, folks. We can't ignore them, because something's got to give. But anyway, in the meantime, there are a lot of young people in these camps, and they need, besides food and shelter, you know, they need to continue their schooling, they need sports, they need music, they need art. And so we did these shows on a tour called the Lampedusa Tour. I believe it's going to be coming to San Francisco or in your area with another group of artists, but I'm pretty sure Steve Earle is going to be on it in the fall. So check it out. It's a really worthwhile cause. And but this is the song that we would end the whole evening with every night, written by Steve Earle.
I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. This ain't never been my home. Sometimes the road is rocky along the way. The road's been rocky along the way, boys. I was never traveling alone. We'll meet again on some bright highway. Songs to sing and tales to tell. I expect to touch his hand, boys. till I see you fare you well.
Farewell, Angelina, the sky is full.
have nice dinner, nice bottle of wine.
Well, we're gonna, we'll do one more, then we'll do a song by my dad. He was a musician. Look it up on the internet.
Yeah.